We are continuing in our series called We Believe, and now it's part two. How long is it going to go? Nobody knows. How long is it going to go? Nobody knows. But our scripture is Ephesians 1, 3 through 8, and we're going to be looking at that this week. And we're also going to be looking at that next week and see if this thing will work. Will this work? There, I have to turn it on for it to work, yes. All right. Now, remember I promised you that we're going to have a declaration every single week going forward. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is we're going to be sort of exploring our declaration over the next number of weeks. But let's say it together. I have a biblical worldview, everyone together. My life is not led by tradition, whims, or opinions, but by every word that proceeds from God. I don't base my worth or identity on what I do, but instead of who I am in Christ. I am a deeply loved child of God, and nothing will change that. Every good thing I have is not based on what I deserve, but what my generous God wants to give. Decisions of life or death lay before me every day. I choose life. God has great plans for me, and they come to pass as I continually allow Him to direct my path. I share these truths with words and actions, giving others the same opportunity to life as I've been given. That was good. That was awesome. Give yourself a hand. Wow. Congratulations, church. All right. Today is part two, but we're going to take 30 seconds, time me, we're going to take 30 seconds to do the review from the first one. So we're looking at our series is our anchor, our identity, our outcome, and our opportunity. Let me say that again. The series is our anchor, our identity, our outcome, and our opportunity. And that's what we're looking at. Today we're looking at our identity. Last week we talked about the anchor, and the anchor, of course, to our soul is God and His incredible world, His incredible word, His Bible. That's what we believe in. We have a biblical world view. His Bible teaches us who God is, how to get to know Him better, how to live our lives, how to treat people nice, how to cope in life's decisions. It's the treasury like nothing else. His eternal word. Somebody say amen. I like this section right here. You know what? This is fantastic. You continue to cheer. You continue to roar. And I got good news for you, church. You ready for this? You get spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically better as you study the Bible. Did you hear that? I feel like saying it again. You get spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically better as you study and dive into His rich and beautiful, beautiful word. We are not led by intellect or feelings, but the truth of the Bible. And the closer we align to it, the more whole we will be. And as I said last week, Psalm 119:105, His word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. He keeps me from stumbling and He gives us direction and clarity. Now, I've never had this opportunity before like I do now. I'm going to whet your appetite to this series. If you were not here last week, I'm going to whet your appetite to this series so much. You're going to race home and you're going to go on YouTube and you're going to watch part one. Because now you can. So that's all I'm going to give for review. Here we go. Number two, our identity. And here is the declaration. We're going to dissect it today. My worth and identity is not based on what I do, but instead who I am in Christ. Dice. Got to get that in you. We launched something this week as staff, board, and elders, and I see them all around this room. We are going through the Soul Care course. And then, because some people have been asking, so this is an infomercial, a free plug.
We're going to be opening it up to the congregation and to the world, really. We're going to be opening up that in January into the new year. But we want to just sort of cut our teeth in this thing and to make sure we've got this as a leadership. And then we're pushing play.
Blew my mind last week. Guess what is the number one? What is the first lesson in this course?
Dr. Rob Reamer believes is foundational and essential for our life. We start with what? I'm glad you asked. Our identity and who we are in Christ.
The timing is so cool. It's so God.
As we launch that and we know it's foundational, our identity and who we are in Christ. In the same way, we're launching this new second year of Emerge Church in the great truths of our anchor and our identity. Praise the name of Jesus. And you know what? Our outcome and our opportunity. Now, it's a truth that I believe with everything I am because it changed my life. Is everybody ready? Now, who we are in Christ. It's one of those modern expressions. You know, probably in the last 20 years, everyone's talking about, well, you know, it's important to know who you are in Christ. And I'm very mindful that as Christians, we have sort of our nomenclature. We have our Christianese, and we have this sense of little slogans or tags that only we know and everyone else is lost. So I want to break down actually what this is all about. The expression or the phrase isn't necessarily exactly in the Bible per se, but the truth of it really, really is. I'm going to take 45 seconds now and teach you a theology that took me probably 2 months to go through. And I'm going to give it to you in the next 45 seconds. It's very much like the term Trinity. Trinity. Again, foundational to Christians. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door years and years ago, and I was a fairly new Christian, and they challenged me about the term Trinity, and they said, did you know that the word Trinity isn't even in the Bible? And you guys go on about the Trinity. So I wanted to prove them wrong, because of course that's what we do. We want to forget love, and we just... So anyway, I was struck by that, and I thought, oh, it can't be. So I erased my concordance, and I looked up, trying to find the term Trinity in the Bible, and guess what? It's not there.
Well, that must mean it's not real.
Oh, wait for it. The word Trinity is just simply a word that means the state of being three. The state of being three. Not found in the Bible, but again, its truth is foundational to our faith, and it's all over the Bible. See, the Bible says that the Father, that Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all recognized as and are all called God. This is good. Come on. This took me 8-10 weeks to go through, and you're going to get it in another 20 seconds. But the Bible says that there is only one God. How can it be? Confusing. Well, is there three gods or is there one? There's one in three persons. Three distinct persons in one divine essence, God. Hence, the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible does... Oh, I'm enjoying this. Oh, my, am I enjoying this. The Bible doesn't say who you are in Christ... But the Bible does talk always about the power of being in Christ. The power of being in Christ. Whirlwind tour. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a brand new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I like new. How many people like new? Yeah, come on. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you not know? And you can just see here, That's Ephesians 2:11 or 2:10. And now Romans 6:3-5. If you want to take maybe a picture of that one and go through and look at them yourself. Paul goes on to say, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too can walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united in Christ in death, like he was, we certainly will be united with him in his resurrection, like he was. Somebody say amen. It's good stuff. Romans 6, he goes on to say, so you also must consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Call me crazy. I think there's a pattern here. I think there's a theme here. I think there's a power of being in Christ. Are you in Christ today? And someone might say, well, I don't know. I never heard the term before. If you got Jesus, you're in Christ. And the richness and the inheritance and the power is on you because Christ is in you. For you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. For in Christ Jesus, you were all children of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And finally, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, I like this one. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. So that in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. I'm going to say that one again. For our sake, God the Father made Jesus to actually be sin. He didn't know sin. He's perfect. But he became sin so that, again, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I got to stay into the camera. Got to stay into the camera shot, but I'm going to get excited here. The moment you get Jesus, the moment you come into Christ, are you ready? Put your seatbelts on. The Bible says that you become perfect like he's perfect. I don't feel very perfect. Take hold of it and allow the power of God to continue to weave that truth within you. So it goes on and on and on. What does all this mean? Ah, here it is. You got to take a picture of this one too. Take another picture, Lee. We are not our complete self without Christ. There's the whole thing. That's our takeaway today. If you get nothing else today, you can get that sentence, and that's life. What it's really saying is we are not our complete self without Christ. And we have our salvation, life, hope, purpose only because we're united in Christ. If you're united in Christ, you have life. And the Bible says more abundantly. I'm preaching myself happy here, church. Now, the term who I am in Christ, you maybe have never heard this before, but it's actually just weaved together. It's who I am in Christ. What it simply means is that we get our worth and our identity from being in union with Christ, from being his. And the only thing that matters in this world is that you're his. And you're going to hear this lots over the next 8 or 10 minutes. The only thing that matters in this world is that you're his. Let me say it again. The only thing that matters in this world is that you're his. And when you got that, then everything else makes sense. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added on to you. Tammy, I don't know. I'm enjoying being a grandparent probably more than I was a dad. I loved being a dad. Stop that. Stop it. Can you edit that out? No, I loved being a parent, and I love being a grandparent. And I love my three grandchildren, and I'm believing for many, many more. Somebody say amen. But you know what? Nothing compares to being in Christ. Nothing compares to being in Christ. Whew. My value, listen, everyone listen to me. Everyone in the room listen to these words. My value comes exclusively from what Jesus thinks of me. My value comes exclusively from what Jesus thinks of me. And he told me this morning he adored me. He told me yesterday he adored me. Oh, this is so good. And what his finished work on the cross has accomplished for me is everything. I am his and he is mine. If you want a good life, oh, for heaven's sakes. If you want a good life, oh, for heaven's sakes, take Jesus. I'm going to close with this. Did he just say close? You know my close is going to be 21 minutes. Now, come on. No, I'm going to be good. Okay, now we're going to close with this. We're looking at salvation and identity. And I don't know if you've ever seen this before. I don't know if you've ever witnessed this before, but you're going to see something that is incredibly cool, and it's going to be life. We're looking at salvation, and we're looking at identity. Again, who we are in Christ. Now, again, you got to take a picture of this one. We can't earn our salvation by what we do. Nor can we draw our identity or value in life by what we do. Our salvation is exclusively because of the finished work of the cross. And guess what? I got good news for you. Our identity is exclusively because of the finished work of the cross. Is that liberating? Or is that disappointing? I hope it's liberating. Now, there's nothing more you can do. There's nothing more you can do. All you can do is just joyously take it. And trust me, you wouldn't want it any other way. Let me give you a couple examples, and then I will have the worship team come back. Let's first look at salvation. If you're like anyone else in the world, if you have Jesus today, you are probably not like every other. Did I say that right? You're probably like every other Christian that ever lived. And here's the problem. When we're Christians, we forget, I don't know why, including me, we forget that, and here we go. He chose us and left heaven to be our salvation. Then he chose to die on the cross to be our atonement and our remedy. And if that wasn't enough what he did, then he sought us out. You have been pursued by God all the days of your life. Everyone in this room has been hunted down by the love of God. Oh, thank God you've been hunted down by the love of God. And if that wasn't enough, then he revealed to us the truth about what he did on the cross. And if that wasn't enough, then he gave us the desire to take him and to become born again. I'm thinking Jesus did everything. You think you chose him? You think you chose him? We get proud because we think we chose him? No, the Bible says long before we chose him, he chose us. Oh, somebody clap or shout or spitless sing. Oh, Father, he did everything. And then after we come to Christ, we think we have to perform to impress him, to earn his salvation. Really? Where did we get that memo? We want to earn our salvation by what we do. Somehow we think that his finished work wasn't enough. Somehow we have to earn our salvation so we can go to heaven. No, he did it all. He did it all. See, if we felt we had to earn it, if we felt we had to earn our salvation, then when would be enough? Listen to me. Then when would be enough? On your 12th missionary trip? Then I've earned my salvation. On the 200th time you've gone to church? Then I earn my salvation. On the 75th study that I do in my home group? Is that enough? Then I've earned my salvation. The 57th cherry pie that I baked for Pastor Todd. Please do that. Then I've earned my salvation. Is that enough? No. All you have to do is adore Jesus, love Jesus, and thank him for what he is, and thank him for what he's done. For it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And that's not of yourself. That's not from your striving. That's not from your performance. It's a gift of God, not by works that anyone could brag. It's a gift of God. I'm going to bring this really home right now. Just take the gift of God. If you haven't done that yet, then today, do it today. Just take it and live your life serving him, eternally grateful. Now, second one is our identity. First one I looked at is our salvation. It was all him. Now I'm going to look at our identity and see, is it all him? We want to choose and base our value or self-esteem on what we do. What is the first thing that you ask somebody when you get to know them?
So, what do you do? So, tell me about yourself. What do you do?
I would laugh if someone would just be starry-eyed, panicky, and go,
I just sit at home and watch video games? Or nothing?
Or I'm the president of Lithuania? Again, we try to get our value by what we do. We just don't get it, do we? We just don't get it. See, here's the problem. If we get our value or our identity by what we do, then if we can't do it anymore, then we have no value left. Aren't you glad that your value does not come from a successful career? Or lack thereof. Your value comes from being adored by Jesus. Somebody quietly, without spit, shout hallelujah. Why do you think gifted sports personalities have such a hard time integrating into life after their career's over? Because they formed their worth and their identity from their talent, from their success. And that goes for anybody. A singer, a brain surgeon, a successful business person. It can be all gone in a moment. Does that mean that you're not valuable anymore?
Heavens, no. How many people have lost it all in the last 2 years? How many people have lost it all in the last 6 months? Does that mean you're not valuable anymore? Heavens, no. But praise God, I believe that there's some people that are finally realizing that their value is not in what they do, but they're finally realizing that their value is on who they are. You're not valuable because you're a parent. You're not valuable because you're a grandparent. You're not valuable because you're the best cousin, aunt, uncle, neighbor in the world. Your value can't be by that. Gone in a minute, just like a sand castle on a beach. I don't know if I've ever shared this before. I don't even know if I knew it before this week. Remember I said at the beginning of the service, I said, this is the message that changed my life. This is the message that changed my life. See, I didn't know it at the time, but us Pratts, we got our value from being dynamic and personable. We're the Pratts. We're well known in town. We are important. We're successful. We're charismatic. We must be valuable. You know what my dad struggled with until the day he died? Shame and unworthiness. I carried that tradition on. I guess it's generational, isn't it? Maybe having a charismatic personality, that's going to see me through life. I do Bible college, and then I'm going to go into the ministry, and then watch out, Jesus. Let me go. I'm going to fix everybody. I'm going to save the world. Socially engaging, the gift of gab. I got it all. Maybe for someone else, it's being handy or smart or creative or frugal. That's why I'm valuable. A bad economy will fix that. A computer crashing will fix that. Oh, would you really want to base your life on sinking sand like that? Then, in the midst of my first pastorate, I discovered that it wasn't enough. And I wasn't enough. And it all came crashing down like a house of cards. And this saved on fire for God, man, was broken. And I finally discovered that I was loved and valuable just because I was his. My value is that I'm his. My value is that I'm his. If you don't know that yet, that will be life-changing. Or conversely, what if you're not gifted or talented? What if you have no talent? Then you have no worth? I wish I could sing like Tammy. I guess I'm lousy and no good because I can't sing like Tammy. Really? See, there are people that are talented who don't think they are. There are people who think they're talented and aren't. Oh, kidding! Seriously, though, I realize that everyone's got gifts and talents, and we're all called to use them. Come on, worship team, come on back. I got to redeem this thing. We all have gifts and talents, and we're all called to use them. But I got good news for you. We don't base our value on our gifts and talents. You know, I made $175,000 this year. Look at me.
I made $2.7 million this year. Look at me. Tom Brady made $21 million this year. Look at me. It can be gone in a moment. Now you know why we're going to declare this every week. Because this changes everything. What I do doesn't denote who I am. And church, you can't learn and understand who you are in Christ by striving and performance. It's only by revelation. It's only by revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Stand with me, church. Has life been a house of cards? Over the last 6, 7 months, 15, 18 months, 10, 20, 30 years, has your life been a house of cards? Rejoice today that our value, our identity, and our worth comes from Christ. And I got good news for you, church. He thinks you're amazing. And that's why we have life and have it abundantly. If you know Jesus today, then that opens the door to hearing him and getting the revelation that you're valuable. I'm going to say that again. If you know Jesus, if you've taken Jesus, then that's the beginning. That opens the door for you getting the revelation that you're valuable and loved by him. And I got good news. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's why we worship him. That's why we love him. That's why we praise him. Because he did it all. He did it all. Church, beloved, lay down the striving. Lay down the performance. Let go of the lack of performance because you've given up. Just embrace him. Just embrace him. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's worship him together. Let's love him. Let's magnify his name together. Just like me. Self-righteous Pharisee, just like me. Performing, striving, trying to impress God. Unworthiness, dirtiness, filthiness. He can take it all away. He can take it all away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Now you know why identity is so important. Now you know the rest of the story. Amazing grace. I can't escape his grace. He did it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you out there today? Just show me a, give me a show of hands. Has this spoke to you today? Has this become valuable today? Has this helped you today? Has this given you tools today for life? His freedom, his joy, his hope, his purpose is all in him. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to bless this service. And if you want to just say, hey, would you pray for me? Just pray for me. I need the revelation that I'm valuable. Not by what I do, just because of who I am. I need that revelation today that I'm valuable. Trust me, it changes everything. It changes everything. Father, today in the matchless and wondrous and eternal name of Jesus, the name above every other name, the name that has conquered death, hell, grave, and shame. Father, thank you for bringing Jesus to be our remedy, to be our answer, to be our fortification, to be our atonement, to do everything. It's not what I do, it's what's already been done. It's not what I do, it's what has already been done. He did it on the cross. He said, I did it, I finished it, now come to me. Is there anyone in this room that has not surrendered to Jesus yet? Oh, today. Today is the day. Find life today. Find life today. All you have to do is just ask him, say, Jesus, please, just, I need your help. I didn't realize this. I need your help. I need you. I thought it was church. I thought it was being a good person. I thought it was trying my best. I thought it was inviting Pastor Todd over for a steak. That's the second reason. It's Jesus. All you have to do is just say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Take over my life. Give me that purpose and that hope and that joy that I'm longing for. And thank you that your blood can take away all my sins, all my guilt, all my regret, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day. The series just keeps getting better and better. So you know what? Enjoy. Let's just enjoy the Lord for a little bit. You're dismissed. God bless you. And we go out that door. Thank you.